And I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. What more wonderful promise do we find in sacred scripture made by the Lord God Himself? In it, we are completely disarmed by the munificent generosity of God. But at the same time, we know that Jesus expects us, when we ask, to ask for things that are good for us. He says, if then you who are wicked know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give to those who ask Him? The thing is, we don't always know what's good for us. But Jesus, who made us, does know. And He knows that each one of us is created for and are in fundamental need of really only two things. Two gifts which our whole Christian faith revolves around: the gifts of love and life. Today's second reading, St. Paul tells us that Christ brought you to life along with Him. And that theme of life is persistent in the Gospels. And elsewhere in Scripture, St. John tells us God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Life and love, living and loving, go hand in hand in the mystery of being a Christian and really in the mystery of being a human being. We find this at the very beginning of the Bible, the very first chapter of Genesis, in the story of the creation of man, where it tells us who we are. In that story, we find that God creates man not because He needs to create him, not like God's lonely or anything, because God is the Trinity and so He's never lonely, but God creates because this is the God who is love, in whom living and loving are the same thing. And so that while He doesn't need to make us, He naturally wants to make us so that He can share His life and love with us. So out of His life and love, He generously gives life to us so that we can receive His love and live in that love and love Him in return. Genesis tells us God created man in His own image, male and female. He created them. This one creature, man, in his very beginning, is created sexually as two, equally dignified before God, but radically different before each other. And this difference shows in their very being that they are created to complement each other, or to live and to love with each other. And to do so sublimely in the context of the sexual identities as male and female, as partners in marriage. Now, of course, this is a very different view of things than the world has today. For the world we live in, marriage is often reduced to whatever people want it to be. A concept of marriage that is created by man in his own image. A very different view of what marriage is, and so a very different view of the meaning of sexuality. So, for example, today, civil marriages can be legally terminated by the simple decision of a judge. Or two men or two women can be civilly so-called married. Very different from the teaching of Jesus when He talks about Genesis chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 19, He says, from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, so they're no longer two but one flesh. What God has joined together, no man can separate. We see a culture that sees sexuality as a matter of absolute individualistic right to self-satisfaction, not as a generous mutual self-gift of life and love to each other that binds the two in a permanent, loving bond. We live in a world that in many ways would make the people of Sodom and Gomorrah that we read about in today's second reading, they would blush if they saw our society today. Now, 51 years ago tomorrow, on July 29, 1968, Pope Paul VI wrote a very short but also a very historic letter reiterating the Church's ancient understanding of the essential integrity and unity of human life and love in marriage and sexuality. The letter was called On Human Life, or Humanae Vitae. In Humanae Vitae, Pope Paul called us to go back to Genesis chapter 1. He reminded us that married couples are called to share life and love generously in the image of God, living this love in very human ways. Sometimes this is in very ordinary ways, like living together in the same house. But sometimes it is in a very special way, a most concrete, dramatic, intense, and wonderfully joyful way, in human physical sexual intimacy, a human act which is a sacramental expression of the generous, life-giving quality of God's love and the love-giving quality of God's life found in the very creation of man as male and female described in Genesis. This is what acts of sexual intimacy are intrinsically designed to mean, and anything less is a corruption of this meaning, an insult to the dignity of the human person, spouses, children, and to God himself. So that Saint Pope Paul VI repeated what the Church has always taught, that it is always morally wrong to intentionally separate the life-giving meaning of human sexual intimacy from its love-giving meaning, so that any direct and intentional attempt to render procreation impossible in the conjugal act is absolutely contrary to the divine meaning of human love and human life, and to the eternal and unchanging design and will of God himself. In short, contraception is always a grave act and a mortal sin. In today's gospel, Jesus reminds us, what father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? What husband or wife among you would give your spouses an act of false intimacy and selfish sterility when they ask you to give yourself completely in an act of true love that is directed or open to bearing fruit of new life? Now, this can be a very hard concept to accept, especially surrounded by a world that views sexuality so very differently. But if the world has clearly taken a contra-Christian approach to the meaning of marriage, as it accepts divorce, adultery, and even homosexuality, perhaps we can see that it has also gone very wrong in its understanding of the fundamental meaning of sex itself. They don't understand marriage, they don't understand sex. I know that many people struggle with this. This is so different from what we hear all around us. For many, it represents an immediate and intensely personal struggle, a struggle with what you've been told by the world, and also a struggle with what your own passions tell you. Struggle if you must, but keep trying, and begin today to think, pray, and study about what the Church really has to say and to offer in its beautiful teaching on the mystery of human life and love. And don't be discouraged or overwhelmed by what seems to be the impossibility of fulfilling its demands. Take heart in the wonderful words of Jesus in today's gospel. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Be persistent in your pursuit of the truth, and beg the Lord, for whom nothing is impossible, to help you to understand his teaching. and to give you the generosity necessary to sacrifice personal pride or desires, to live in His love and according to His eternal will. Begin today and persevere, and He will give you what you need to understand and to live the divine mystery of human life and human love. Humanae vitae. Praise be Jesus Christ.